He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is my pleasure this evening to welcome missionaries, the Branoses from Missionaries of France. Brother and Sister Branos are here this evening. Let's greet them in Jesus' name. Brother Branos is going to come in just a moment, and he is going to give his presentation. Then we're going to take up an offering. We'll give you some more information on that when the time comes. And then he's going to preach to us the word of the Lord. So we want to give him all the time that we can. We want to welcome Brother Marcus Branos. God bless you, Elder. Come and minister the word. God bless you.
Good evening. You can sit down if you'd like. We are so grateful to be here. Thank you. First of all, thank you to Brother Grant for allowing us to be on your church schedule. We really appreciate that. And thank you, church, for allowing us to be a part of this worship service with you. And we are very, very grateful to be with you here tonight. Now, as a missionary to France, it's in the fine print of my contract that I have to speak French in these services. But I will let you in on a secret that has always made me feel awkward. You know, to speak French to a non-French speaking congregation, unless we have a lot of French speakers here tonight. Okay, yeah, okay. I was kind of expecting a hand over here, but okay. So, or I did not see it, but I take your word for it. Yeah, that's always made me feel awkward to speak. You don't think about it. Have you ever had to carry on a conversation with someone in a language that they did not understand? It's a really awkward position to be in. But you'll be so glad to hear that I have found a mechanism to cope with this, and that's to make you feel awkward. And to achieve that goal, we're going to sing a song together tonight in French. So I will teach you the words. If you'll just repeat after me, béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom. You may see a pattern emerging. Du. U. All right. Seigneur. All right. You have just learned the song. Good job. Now we're going to sing it together. Béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom du Seigneur. Béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom du Seigneur. All right, that was the first attempt. I get the impression everybody's not quite participating yet. There's hearing, but there are other clues. The fact that your masks are perfectly immobile while we're singing, that kind of lets me know. But you'll be so glad to hear that I'm going to give you another chance right now to sing the song with me. Béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom. le nom. Béni soit le nom du Seigneur. Béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom du Seigneur. Oh oui, béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom. Béni soit le nom du Seigneur. Béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom, béni soit le nom du Seigneur. Amen. Give yourselves a hand for doing that. I'm not sure how awkward you felt, but hopefully somewhat. Did anybody recognize what we were singing? That's right. Blessed be the name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for singing with us. If you did not sing with us, the altars are open. Oh, glory. But we are Marcus and Renee Brainos, and Renee Brainos has set up a table in your entryway, and I'd like for her to take a few moments to tell you about that.
Amen. We are so excited to be here with y'all tonight. We're excited to be with all of y'all, but I am so excited to be with Abigail tonight that y'all don't know how happy that makes my heart. But you know what? I'm going to move over here because short people problems. But I want to start by saying thank you for everything that you do for the cause of missions. When you give in the ladies' ministry offering, when you text MM to your giving, that is what does things like purchases our appliances, our refrigerator, our washer, our dryer. And Ladies Ministries, Mother's Memorial, also makes it possible for students that might not otherwise be able to attend Bible school to attend the Bible school. So we are so very thankful for your participation in that program. And I want to thank you for participating in Move the Mission. This is our Move the Mission vehicle. We are so excited. I just love our car for many reasons. Number one is the fact that it is an automatic. And in Europe, that is not normal. There are usually standards, and I can't drive a stick shift, so I am thankful that Move the Mission made it possible for us to have an automatic vehicle. We don't have our own facility. So every week, we load up all of our equipment, take it down to the hotel meeting room, set it up, have service, take it down, and bring it back home with us. It's possible on the bus, but Move the Mission makes it so much easier, and we are so thankful for that. And probably about 6-8 times a year or so, we travel 9 hours one way to go teach in the Bible school. Move the Mission makes that possible. So thank you for your participation in that. We have a table set up out in the foyer. Just a few things for you to look at, kind of get a picture of our part of the country. And while you're back there, we ask that you would sign our guest book. We don't need a lot of your personal information, just your name. We use that as our prayer journal so that we can go back through it later. We can remember the places that we visited, the people that we met, and we take that opportunity to pray for you. So please do sign your name in that guest book. And next to that, you will see our prayer magnets. These are free. We would ask that every family would just pick one up, take it home with you, and put it on your refrigerator. Then every time you see that, you can be reminded to pray for us. As we travel, we are raising our partners in missions. And in addition to partners in missions, we have some other amazing ways that you can be involved. And one of the things that we're working on right now is raising the funds for our training project. We recognize that the kingdom of God is kind of like a puzzle. Paul talks about it as a body. Some people are hands, some people are feet. When you look at a jigsaw puzzle and you pick up a piece and it's just solid blue and you think, I don't know what this is. But when you put that on your table, if you don't have that solid blue piece in, your sky looks a little bit strange. If you have your green grass and you're just looking at a green piece and it doesn't really seem like it does anything, but the ground looks a little bare without that piece of green grass. We are all pieces of that puzzle that make up the kingdom of God. And right now we're working on our training project because we are all pieces of that puzzle. And we recognize that as two people, we can't train a nation of 65 people. We can't reach a nation of 65 people, 65 million people, sorry. 65, we might would have a possibility. But 65 million people, we can't do that on our own. So we are training people to be involved. We are training workers to be involved in the harvest. We train by teaching in the Bible school, Sunday school teacher training seminars, ministers teaching, training for home Bible study teachers. Ways that you can train people to go out and reach their neighbors and to reach their friends and their coworkers. We are raising funds for that. And we still need about $30,000 to finish that project off. If you have $30,000 tonight and want to be involved, we have a table out in the foyer. I will be there after church. But if you don't have $30,000 and you still want to be involved, you can be involved at any different level. But we can accept your cash, your checks, and you can text MBRAIN to 71777, and that'll take you to a form online that you can fill out and that you can donate electronically. For every $20 that you donate to that project, we have a puzzle there to where you can say, you know what? I'm going to pick up that prayer magnet and I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to donate and become an answer to that prayer, and you sign your name on one of those puzzle pieces to indicate that you are going to be helping us train laborers for the harvest. God bless you.
Amen. As you go by the table, you'll notice we even have a jar out there. If you'd just like to drop some change in the jar, you're welcome to do that. We just ask if you would first wrap it in something soft, like a $50 or $100 bill. I want to take a few moments to tell you about myself, and I'll start with the fact that I actually grew up in France. I spent 11 years of my childhood over there, and that is because my dad's French. He was living here in the States and met my mom. And so our family moved to France for the first time when I was 3 years old. And moving there that young, man, I actually started school over there. So the first language that I learned to read and write in was actually French. But over the years, my family moved back and forth between the two countries. French dad, American mom, we moved back and forth. And actually, by the time I was 17 years old, we had made 6 transatlantic moves back and forth. Growing up that way, I never went to the same school 2 years in a row as a kid. I didn't realize until later that that's not how most people do that. I also went to French schools when I lived in France. I went to American schools in the U.S., and so that was really cool. That meant that as a kid, I couldn't spell in 2 different languages. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But that's how I grew up. I grew up on 2 different continents. In 2 different countries with 2 different cultures, French culture, American culture, and both cultures are part of who I am. I am a French American. So that means basically I hate myself. my family moved back to the States as I was finishing high school, and I graduated from high school in the U.S., and from there went to Texas Bible College. That's where I met my wife, Renee, and that is also where we felt our call to missions in France. Now, those doors didn't open right away, but we continued to live in such a way that we were prepared to go when the time came, and that time did come. In 2004, we were appointed to the nation of France as missionaries, and we are so grateful for that appointment, so grateful to represent the United Pentecostal Church International in that nation, and grateful for what God has done. Now, this past term, when we returned to France in 2015, we relocated to a brand new area. That's the pin that you see on this map. We relocated to the city of Nice, France, where we previously had no church. Now, as Renee mentioned, France is a nation of 65 million people. With a nation that big, of course, we can't reach that kind of population by ourselves. and in just the existing churches that we had. And so we went to the city of Nice, France, to plant a new church. Nice is a nation. It's a country. It's a city of about 300,000 people with a metro population of about 1.1, 1.2 million. What I'm showing you on this map is in 2015 when we returned to France, where our churches were. This is kind of what the map looked like. And so you see that big red area to the southeast of the country where we had no French-speaking apostolic churches. That is what we saw for years as we looked at the map of France, is this big geographic area in need of new church plants. And so that's why we went to the city of Nice. Now, when we got to Nice, when we arrived in Nice, we went there with zero church contacts. I did want to show you a picture of the city. This is Nice. A big portion of the center city is here on this photo. Now, I do want to say this. It doesn't always look this pretty. It doesn't always look this nice. It only looks like that when it's sunny outside, and that's only about 300 days a year. So nobody's feeling bad for us now. But we did. We relocated to this beautiful city, the city of Nice, 300,000 people, 1.1 million metro, that had no French-speaking apostolic church. And we went there with zero church contacts. We didn't have anybody. We didn't know anybody church-wise in that city. And so as we arrived and we got installed, we started to discuss what we could do to become a part of the community, how we would start to minister to the community, try to find a way to be a blessing to the city of Nice. And as Renee and I were discussing it, we decided that we would work for the food bank. We would volunteer at the food bank. We thought that would be a really good way to meet people, that would be also a great way to minister to some of the neediest people in our area. So we go to the food bank, and our first meeting we were there, they kind of showed us what we would be doing. But our second time there, which is really our first time to work, our second time at the food bank, as we're getting ready to leave, we'd done our work for the day and we were about to leave. I'd gone to get the car, and Renee was waiting on me, and she heard somebody call out, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you know so and so?" And so, because we had just started there, we didn't know. She didn't know that individual. And so she explained that to the man who had asked her. She explained that in her good, strong Arkansas French. And at which point the man responded, "Oh, you're not from here, are you?" And so she started to explain, "No, we're not from here. We are missionaries. We've come to the city of Nice to plant a new church. My husband is a pastor, and we've just relocated here to start a new assembly." And that kind of caught the man's attention. He asked, "Well, what kind of church, what kind of pastor is he?" And so Renee explained to the man, "He's a United Pentecostal church pastor." At which point the man looked at her and said, "I have been praying for a Pentecostal pastor to teach me a Bible study." Amen. Amen. That is the first church contact that we made in the city. His name is Thierry, and he had been praying for a Pentecostal pastor to teach him a Bible study. So at this point, we're very excited. This is just a couple months after we arrived, maybe 3 months after we got back to France. And so we're very excited about it. We're very excited about this new Bible study that's starting out with our first church contact. And so as we get started, right off the bat, he says, "Well, I've got a couple friends I'd like for you to meet." We say, "Okay, that sounds nice." And so we meet these two ladies that he knew, and the meetings are very polite and cordial, but we don't really think much of it at the time. We're focusing on teaching Thierry a Bible study. Except that about 3 weeks later, Thierry comes to me at the food bank, and he says, "Marcus, my friends and I, we've been talking together, and we wanted to ask you, would you start a Sunday morning service?" And I said, you know what? I think we can arrange that. I think we can make that happen. And so we have been, we started in our living room, and we have been having church services every Sunday since then. And aside from COVID restrictions, amen, aside from COVID restrictions, there's not been a single Sunday that we didn't have somebody in church with us. And we are so grateful for that. There is now a United Pentecostal Church of Nice. Amen. And that is, there's a United Pentecostal Church of Nice, and that's because of churches just like this one that made it possible for us to go to Nice. And we're gonna stop there just briefly for a moment. Brother Seidel's going to come back, and we'll continue after that.
Praise God. You've already been given some information on how to give. We just will give you the information that will allow you to give through Calvary Gospel Church. And you can text to give at our number. And Pastor Phil gave me the information. There it is. The same way we normally give, except when you text, you will need to put down missionary. And instead of tithes or offering or MM, keyword missionary. Put that in there. You can also give before you leave tonight by getting an offering envelope and putting your offering in there and dropping it in the box. I want to do something here, because what happens sometimes is we have church, and when church is over, our only thought is to get in the car and get home. If you are willing to commit to give an offering before you leave tonight, since you may not have an offering envelope in your hand, I want you to stand just for a moment to give yourself a reminder that I am going to give before I leave tonight. Why don't you just stand for a second? All right. Now that's your reminder to yourself that before you leave tonight, you're going to give an offering. If you want to take the Brainuses on a regular basis, you need to identify that in your offering, in the envelope, and when you drop it in, and the amount and how much you're going to pledge, so then we will know how much as a church, if we're going to take them on or not. At this point, we have not taken on the Brainuses as regular support, but if you are interested in doing that, we want to know that so that we can follow through with that. So this is your opportunity to support this work, and you know that in these last days, God is going to do a great work, and that the Brainuses have been brought to France for such a time as this. Amen. Amen. Brother Reynolds, come on back. He's going to preach the Word of God.
Thank you. There we go. Who would like to hear some coffee stories? All right. Good, because you didn't really have a choice anyway. These are not stories about how great coffee is. Although, you know, maybe. Anyway, I think Starbucks has that covered, because they have convinced us that what used to be worth a dollar is actually worth five. So I think they take care of telling us how great coffee is. No, one day we were walking home from a Bible study that we were teaching, and we spotted a coffee shop that kind of caught our attention. And so we went into the coffee shop and we ordered our coffees and sat down, and we started talking to the lady that owned the coffee shop. And we noticed that she was very friendly and open in her conversation, which may not sound like that big a deal, but in France that's quite different, actually. People tend to be a lot more reserved in France. They're more difficult to get to know. And so just the openness with which, you know, like you walk into a business and people are very polite, but they tend to be more on the professional side. And this lady was being very open. We were talking about all kinds of different stuff. And so it caught our attention to the point that by the time we left, Renee and I talked about it, we discussed it, and we decided, you know what? We're going to make this our coffee shop. We're going to be a blessing to this business. We're going to be a blessing to this lady. And from that moment forward, we did just that. Every week, we would go into the coffee shop. And if we were out of town or something, we'd try to double up when we got back. And just to try to forge a connection with this owner of the coffee shop. At Christmas time, Renee makes some goodies, some candies and some cookies. And so she made a little care package for our friend, and we took it down to the coffee shop. And she was so delighted. And so touched, really, that one of her customers would do something like that for her. She was just very, very pleased. And we found out later she was also a little bit aggravated because it turned out that her husband ate more of one of the candies than she wanted him to. But we would do that, trying to connect with her. When we would make trips back to the U.S., we'd stop in and say, hey, can we bring you anything back? Now, in typical French fashion, she would say no at first because the no always comes first. But then we insisted, and she would say, yeah. One time we asked, and she said no, and then we insisted. And she said, well, if you want to bring something back, will you bring back some Kraft macaroni and cheese? And I don't know where she'd heard about it or how she'd seen it, but she wanted to try Kraft macaroni and cheese. And so we did. We brought back Kraft macaroni and cheese from the U.S. so that her and her family could get to enjoy that delicious chemical cheese flavor. You know, that glow-in-the-dark orange bowl of macaroni and cheese. And over time, we saw the relationship grow and deepen. Actually, there was a big marker of that one time when we walked in the shop, because when she saw us, she actually called us aside so she could share some very difficult news with us, that she had just lost her dad. And so it was very difficult news to hear, but at the same time, it was kind of humbling that she would lean on us in that way. And it really felt like we were connecting with her. Another time we were making a trip back to the U.S. and we stopped in the shop and say, hey, can we bring you anything back from the States? And she said, no, of course. But then we insisted, and she said, well, if you want to bring something back, would you bring back some Fruit Loops? Which, yeah, strange to me too, strange to us. I don't know, maybe it's something about fluorescent colored foods that she really... she did have two small children, so that could be been a part of it. But yeah, we were glad to do it. We got the Fruit Loops, brought them back to France, and we take our box of Fruit Loops down to the coffee shop. And when we get there, the door's locked, and we look through the window, and we notice that mail has started to pile up on the floor of the coffee shop, giving every indication, of course, that they had gone out of business. And so we try to reach out to our friend, the coffee shop owner, and we tried different things to try to connect with her. And nothing we try works. We get back from our trip to the U.S. We'd been gone like 15 days or so, 17 days, something like that. And she's completely dropped out of our world. She's gone. She's disappeared, as far as we're concerned. And at a moment like this, now we had been going to that coffee shop for like 2.5 years by this time. And when that happens at that moment, there's really a sense of loss. So much so that, you know, you might be tempted to think, well, what a waste of time. Now, I don't believe that. I don't think that it's ever a waste of time to be a blessing to somebody else. But I understand that there could be a temptation to think that time was wasted. But if you think about it for a second, to truly believe that would be a waste of time, you've got to believe at least two things. And the first thing is, I only want to sow seed where I can harvest. I only want to sow seed where I can harvest. And the second thing that you've got to believe is that it's all up to me. I'm the one that does this. It's all in my hands. Now, neither of those things is positive. Neither of those things is true. But we did learn some things through that. We learned a little something about the cost of making disciples, the cost of really engaging with this mission that we have. If you really decide to put yourself in the mission of making disciples, it's going to cost you something. It will definitely cost you your time. It will cost you your time. It's probably going to cost you money. I don't think it's going to surprise anybody to learn that we actually had to pay for those coffees. It's probably going to cost you money. But greater than that, it's going to cost you your heart. I think that's the greatest cost to us, is that you're going to become vulnerable to pain. You're going to become vulnerable to hurt. If you really embrace the mission of making disciples, you're going to make real human connections that can be painful. When our friend completely dropped out of our world, like I said, there was definitely a sense of loss. And that is the kind of thing that you open yourself to. But that is what we've been called to do. That is our mission, you and I. It's to go and make disciples and to go and make those human connections. I also want to tell you a little bit about International Coffee. Now, the name's kind of funny because really what International Coffee means is that a group of people gets together and for 45 minutes we speak French and for 45 minutes we speak English. And it's kind of a language exchange thing for people who want to better their French, people who want to better their English. And occasionally, sometimes, some people do drink coffee at the meeting. And so it's called International Coffee. And we'd heard about it when we were volunteering at the food bank. And we'd kind of put off going, but eventually we realized we really do need to go and connect with people. And so we had a great time. But understand that International Coffee has no spiritual dimension to it. There is nothing religious about International Coffee. And really, there's no agenda to it. We just get together and we say hello, and whatever comes up, and we talk about it. Except that we're doing it for 45 minutes in French and then for 45 minutes in English. But there's no specific agenda that's set. But we noticed, though, after some time, about a year and a half or so, we noticed that this interesting thing started happening. And this was just before we came back to the U.S. in 2019 to deputize. But one day we were at International Coffee just talking with one another, and somebody started asking questions about speaking in tongues. And then, so for 20 minutes, I get to do a Bible study on speaking in tongues in the middle of International Coffee. Now, nothing spiritual, nothing religious about it, but I'm doing a Bible study. I thought, oh, that's so cool. We might see where this goes in the future. Maybe some of those people will be interested and will be, and so we continue going. And then a couple months later, I think it was, all of a sudden we're talking and somebody starts asking questions about the New Testament. And so again, for 20 minutes, I get to do a Bible study on the composition of the New Testament and how it came together and the documentary evidence for the New Testament. And it just this in this non-religious, non-spiritual International Coffee, I'm doing Bible studies, impromptu Bible studies. And so it was very exciting to see that happen. And with time, to see more of that happen will be very exciting. Now, there is something that I want to contrast here. I told you about Thierry and how we met. and how that was 100% an appointment that God had on his schedule. Thierry had been praying for a Pentecostal pastor and teacher in Bible study, and he had been calling to us to come to the city of Nice, and really God put us together. But something like that, you and I, we can't do it. We cannot time things like that. We can't schedule meeting somebody at exactly the right time. It's not in our capacity to do that. And so how do we do that? How do we ensure that we can show up on time in somebody's life for those moments? The only way for us to do that is to get there upstream from that moment. It's to already be embedded in their life. It's to already be installed. And the only way that we do that is by connecting with people around us, by being a part of their lives before that moment, before the moment of crisis, before the questions are in their mind, before that hunger and thirst is awakened. We have to be there. Because what happens if we don't? What happens if we're not there? They're going to turn to somebody else. The only way they can turn to us, the only way they can turn to you and me, is if we're already a part of their lives. That's the only way for us to do it. And so that is a vital part of how we connect with people around us. Because you realize these aren't really coffee stories. These are connecting stories. These are stories about making human connections with people around us. And I want to take a moment to point this out to you. What I'm talking about, there's nothing special about us to do these things. Actually, what I've just described to you, any one of us can do these things. Any one of us can connect with people. Amen. And so we're grateful for the things that God has done. We're grateful for, I like to think of it as a spiritual adventure that God has called us on. Adventure, of course, means that we don't really know what's going to happen, and sometimes it gets scary. And that's why that's exactly what it is. We don't know what situations we're going to be in. And we can't anticipate them all the time. But it is an invitation from God to be part of this adventure. And so at the same time that we're grateful for what we've seen happen, we're looking forward. We're anticipating what God wants to do next. We're anticipating what God will do in our next term. And when we start looking forward as missionaries, that's something that we do in partnership with the North American Church. We do that in partnership with you. And that partnership takes a lot of different forms. If I can bring up the exact right slide. These different forms. So, for example, when you go out to the table and you pick up our prayer magnet and you take it home and put it on your fridge, and when you see that magnet, you remember to pray for us. When you do that, you're making the future of the United Pentecostal Church of Nice a reality. When you give to the training project in the various ways that have been described to you tonight, when you give to that training project, you are making the future of ministry in France a reality. You are ensuring that tomorrow there will be a trained ministry to reach France with the gospel. When you partner with us through Partners in Missions to send us into France and to keep us there ministering, you are making the future of the church in France a reality. You're making it real. Now, that's how we do this, but why are we doing this? Well, I've already mentioned it. We do all this because it's our mission. And I don't mean that, of course, as a missionary. It's our mission. I mean that as the church. This is our mission. Our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. That's our mission. Amen. That is our mission. And understand this. It is a mission that we never undertake by ourselves. We never do it alone. Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When he says, I have planted, Apollos watered. Now think about that for just a moment. What has Paul already told us in those few words? He has just told us, I didn't do this by myself. I didn't do this alone. I planted, Apollos watered. But not only that, not only is he saying I had human partnership, he's saying, but God gave the increase. But God gave the increase. He said, me and Apollos, we did some things, we did some work, but God gave the increase. Because we can't do that. You and I can't give the increase. You and I cannot transform a human heart. That takes the Holy Ghost. That takes the Spirit of God working in somebody's life, day in and day out. To the point that Paul actually writes, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Now you may feel a little bit insulted there. What we do, it's nothing. But God that giveth the increase. But he's saying, by comparison to the God part, what we do, the planting and the watering, is just not that much. Actually, in comparison to what God does, that's nothing. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't have to happen. That doesn't mean that it's not important on a human level. He says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So it's very important. It doesn't matter. If you plant and I water, or I plant and you water, it doesn't matter. But it does matter that we all do something, that we're all involved and part of making disciples. That we're all part of making disciples. And by the way, we shouldn't waste a moment's time creating different hierarchies of jobs in the church. Different importance to different jobs in the church, because it's all one. Everything that we do is supposed to contribute to the one mission of making disciples. So if you plant and I water, I plant, you water, it doesn't make a difference. But it does matter that we're involved somehow. And that everything that we're doing it, that we're doing it for the purpose of making disciples, that it all feeds into that. So there's no reason to waste a moment thinking, you know what? Well, if I had that ministry, I'd be doing God's will. Or if I was up there doing that, then I'd feel satisfied. No. It's all one mission. And in verse 9, Paul says, for we are laborers together with God in this mission. We're laborers together with God. And that order matters. It's we're laborers together with God, not the other way around. It's not God, come and bless my ministry. Or God, come and bless my church plant. Or God, come and bless my civic project I want to do. But rather, it's a spirit that says, God, you're a great big God. And you're at work all over this world. And so allow me to be sensitive to where you're at work so I can join myself to what you're doing. So I can be a part of what you're doing. And then he writes to the Corinthians, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. You Corinthian believers are the thing that God is laboring on. You're the thing that God is working on. Now, think for a second. If Paul believes that believers are the thing that God is working on, and Paul is a believer, then it makes sense that Paul believes that he is also what God is working on. And so if we think about it like that for a second, verse 9 becomes, we're laborers together with God and we're the thing that God is laboring on at the same time. So we're working with him in his project, but we're also his project at the same time. Now, why am I highlighting this? Because I think that there are some errors that get into our minds when we don't believe this verse 9 this way. And one of the ways that will manifest is when, for example, when somebody thinks, you know what, when I get my act together, I'll go do something for God. When I clean up my life a little bit, then I'll go evangelize my neighborhood. Or when I get all my ducks in a row, I can work for the Lord. I will tell you right now, I don't have all my ducks in a row. I don't. I'm pretty sure they're not all ducks. I don't even know what some of these creatures are. No, we're laborers with God, and he's also laboring on us. He's also still working on us. Another way that this could manifest is we get in our minds that what we need to present to unchurched people, what we need to present to the world, is some perfect image of a Christian that we come up with in our brains, and that's what we need to show people. This perfect Christian picture. The reality is that doesn't connect with people really. As a matter of fact, most of the time they're going to look right through that. No, we are laborers and we're still being worked on. The reality is that you and I are much more broken than we would even dare to think about. And anybody that experiences humanity knows that about themselves. We are broken. But what do you think would happen if unchurched people started seeing Christians in such a way that they saw God touching their broken places? In such a, what if your community started seeing you and they started seeing how God was touching your brokenness and how God was working through your brokenness and how God was bringing healing to your life? You know what? I'm convinced that when they see God touching your brokenness, that they'll begin to believe that God can touch their brokenness too. Would you stand with me? I'd like to invite you to pray tonight. And this is what I'd like for you to pray. I'd like for you to think of somebody in your world. I'd like for you to think of somebody unchurched at work, at school, in your community somewhere. I'd like for you to think in your neighborhood. Think of somebody unchurched that you want to begin to connect with. And it could be, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be just having coffee with somebody. It could be having somebody at your dinner table. It could be going to play frisbee golf with someone. I don't know. But I want you to think about somebody unchurched in your life that you want to begin to connect with. Somebody that you want to build a bridge of friendship to. A bridge that one day is going to be strong enough to carry the gospel across. As I invite you tonight to to reach out to your community with the good news of the gospel. I'm also asking you to allow me to reach mine. Could we all pray together tonight? Jesus,
confirmation for the word of God that was brought to us tonight, or any more confirmation to the direction that God is giving to his church, that this is the message that we heard. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart to connect with people, it may not be something traditional or something that you have thought would be very spiritual, but in fact God has given us all the opportunity to connect with someone. And I want to encourage you before you leave tonight, commit that idea to the Lord. Surrender it to God and see if He won't confirm it. See if He won't open a door. See if He won't give you direction in the area that He has placed upon your heart to connect with the people around you. Let's continue to worship. Let's pray a little longer and let God do a work here in Jesus' name.